Blog Talk Radio.
Say, this is Jermaine Edwards. Yeah. Listen, in all you're getting, get wisdom, knowledge, understanding. Aim for the sky, reach the mountain, keep climbing. Stop saying you can't, oh, you know you never tried it. Don't waste your energy unless you see the benefit. Negative thoughts, pessimist call. I'm an optimist rising, though sometimes I fall. I'ma keep moving even if I have to crawl. Running with a purpose, and I know I have to run far.
Remember principles work everywhere, anytime. Failures get life when success is denied. Why no? Every question deserve a reply. And my life is submitted to the highest of high. I got my eyes on the prize. I won't accept it and lie. Fight for my faith till I die. There is a reason why.
my way, acknowledge you. If you said no, then I won't move. Quick to listen, I cannot speak, 'cause now your spirit speaks to me. A peace of mind
folks. Good evening. Praise the Lord and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio here on blogtalk.com. I am your host this evening, Brother Mike, and tonight we're going to have another teaching in the series about demonic interactions, manifestations, and the title of tonight's teaching is called Demonically Caused Conditions. Demons and Demonically Caused Conditions, and that's going to be presented by Pastor Emmett Overton. We would like to thank the sponsors for tonight's teaching, Reverend D.W. Dalton, Reverend Ira Moulton, and Reverend Daniel Witherspoon. And after the teaching tonight, we're going to have summarization by Brother John, and then we're going to open it up for questions and answers. So with that being said, let's get ready to turn the mic over. Brother Emmett, can you hear me?
Yes. Give me about 5 more minutes. My dog just walked up to me. That means he got to use the restroom.
Right.
Give me 5 minutes, please.
All right.
Okay, Mike, I'm ready. I'm ready, Big Mike. I'm ready. I'm ready.
All right.
Mike, you need to stay on the line because I'm going to be asking you some questions so you can interact with me.
Okay.
Also need you to get the King James Version out.
Okay.
All right, going on air. Praise God. Good evening and welcome to Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. We want to thank those who are listening on us here at livedeliverance.com. We're about to get ready to set up now our live YouTube and have all of our communications and interaction with each other. Okay, we are now live at Live Deliverance Internet Radio Ministries. We're at www.livedeliverance.com. You can listen to us on our audio device or go to livedeliverance.com and hit live stream. You can watch us through the live stream icon or livedeliverance.com YouTube, where it says YouTube live. Okay, we're going to pick up where we left off on demonology. This is a teaching called The Beginner's Guide to Demonology. But before I do that, I want all of you to know that I want you to come join us in shaping history. God heard my cry of what's going on in America. And the Lord told me, that's not how the way to change things. Yeah, you tell them to vote, but there's something else. Pray, bind, and pray for your nation. And I came across this book, and I didn't even know I had it in my archives because I got a lot of teaching of Derek Prince, but this one stuck out. Shaping History by Derek Prince. And Derek Prince has some interesting topics of praying for our government, binding the demonic spirits that's operating in the governmental system. We have the authority to do that because he changed World War II as he prayed. Prayer is very powerful. Even Patton said a prayer and asked the Lord that it would stop the snow so he can invade Germany. And the next day, God answered his prayer. He said, go to the chapel and I believe in God. He said, I believe in God and I need him to help me. Prayer is very, very powerful. Now, we're going to be talking about demons. And if any of you in this ministry, you need to really educate your family on what you're doing because they will get affected, whether they want to or not. Satan doesn't discriminate against anybody. And that is biblical. When someone is doing the will of God, whether the person in there with them is doing the will of God or not, they can get affected with that. So let's look at all of this stuff and what demons do to people. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come in the name of Yeshua, the Messiah. And Father, we thank you for this word. And we ask that this word penetrate demonic spirits. Lord, your word says, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. Our problems is not people, but spirits that live in races of people and human beings is our enemy. We come up against these unseen benevolent spirits in the name of Jesus. And we ask that the blood of Christ protect us. Lord, we know that we are bought with a price. Therefore, we must glorify you. We give you glory this day in the name of Yeshua the Messiah. And we pray that this word be a blessing to the hearer and all that love the Lord let us say, amen and amen. All right. Here we go. And one little minor problem here that we can fix. Very simple. And we will get started before it hit the thing and it's causing me not be able to record it, but we're going to get it going. There we go. Okay, demonically caused conditions. As I was saying, if you're in this ministry, you need to teach your family and tell them about demons because they will attack the family. They don't care. They have no mercy. Oh, I'm going to leave them alone because the father or the mother is a deliverance minister or an evangelist or you don't have to be a deliverance minister. You're just doing the work of God. They're going to attack you. That's biblical. The Bible says here in Job chapter 1, verse 9, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, where comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and forth in the earth and from walking up and down in it. He walks up and down. His demons does his work. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and eschew evil? Then Satan answered the Lord and says, does Job fear God for nothing? Hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he had on every side? Now, this hedge, you need to tell you, protect your family with it. Enlighten them, teach them about demons. They may not be called to do this, but maybe in the older days that they grow, and God may put that in their spirit. We don't know. But educate your children and people who are around you and let them know this is a serious ministry. because they will attack anybody. When I make teaching like this, I go in there and I anoint them with all the Holy Spirit. They do that. Why? Because I'm sending out messages about the kingdom of darkness. That's why. And the kingdom of darkness will respond. And they'll hit the children, anybody. That's what the Bible says. Because the hedge that Job had around him, but did it say that it had around his whole family? He said, has not made a hedge about him and about his house, his whole family, and about all that he had on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. But put forth thy hand now and touch in all that he had, and he will curse thee to thy face. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he had is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth to present to the presence from the Lord. And that was the day when his sons and daughters were eating and drinking and wine in the earliest brother's house. And there came a messenger unto Job and said, the oxen were plowing and the asses fell beside them. And the sandbins fell upon them and took them away. Yea, they have slain the servants with the edge of the sword, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. That's him attacking the children. So does the Bible say, obey the laws of the land? Tell them, your children, your whoever in your house, look, don't go out there doing something that the devil can use, including Christians. This is how Satan attacks us. The scriptures tell us to obey the laws of the land. That's biblical for us to apply, so we won't do anything foolish. Demons take the advantages of that. Now, pay close attention to what I'm going to be saying tonight. We're going to first recapitulate some things that we said last night, and we're going to pick up where we left off saying that demons have different natures. Demonic spirits are drawn to evil, hate, bitterness. If your home, if you bought a house, I suggest that you go and get you some anointing oil and break the curse off that land, because the Bible says that land can be cursed. And if you're in a home that you don't know who been in there, take some anointing oil, take authority, tell them spirits to get out your house, they're not welcome, and clean your house with the authority and the blood of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, because this stuff is real. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 24, 6, that the earth is cursed. The Bible also says in Genesis chapter 5, verse 29, that the ground is cursed. But you can reverse that. Take a curse and turn it into a blessing. Nevertheless, the Lord thy God will not hearken unto thee, but will turn a curse into a blessing. Deuteronomy 23:5. And break the curse off your land based on Galatians 3:13. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is he that hangeth on a tree. Now, pay close attention to the word I said, tree. And in secular, they say cross. So demons have different natures. One demon identifies himself, as we said last night, we're going to recapitulate in 1 Kings 22:23, as a lying spirit. A deaf, dumb spirit is also identified in Mark 9:25. Now, in demonology, to study this, you get about 80% of revelation. The Lord has to reveal certain demons to you. The Bible speaks of many demons, all types of spirits, and God has to show it to you. And 1 Kings 22:23 is one very simple that you can see. It says a lying spirit. And the demon of deaf, dumb, that blocks people from understanding the Bible. Some people just can't understand it. There's a spirit, a blocking spirit. I noticed that. And if you ask the Lord, Lord, is there any spirits in me that's blocking me from reading or putting me to sleep? I ask that the blood of Jesus Christ deliver me. If you say that, you don't have to call no deliverance minister. You can do it right there, because God says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered, Joel 2:32. You shouldn't depend on the deliverance minister. And one thing about this ministry is that I found out is that people don't want to do the work. They want the deliverance minister to do everything. No, you got to do this on faith. And I found out something else, that in this ministry, some deliverance ministers don't listen to the person that they're supposed to be helping. You know, there's a sister in Christ, man. She's from Tennessee. This sister's own. And the Lord be showing her a lot of stuff, and it helps us do an exorcist with the person, because the person who's afflicted, being tormented by these benevolent spirits, you should pay attention to them, because they are the ones who are going through it. It is so sad that some pastors take this stuff and say, go send them to a psych ward or a psychiatrist, when a psychiatrist is not needed to cast out demons. So this deaf, dumb spirit definitely stops people to get any revelation from God. The seducing spirits, these spirits afflict the spirit of man, seducing him to believe doctrines, lies, and to condemn to eternal punishment. They are spirits of false doctrines, cults, false Christ, and false teachers. Now the spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to demonic spirits and doctrines of demons. In 1 Timothy 4:1, these seducing spirits are seriously, they are acting and they are working miracles that lead some people to believe that they are from God. But they are the spirit of the devil, working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty, Revelation 16:14. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceitfulness of unrighteousness, in them that perish because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. 2 Thessalonians 2:9-10. And the love of the truth is really all Bible. And most people don't believe in all Bible. I believe in all Bible. Divination is also mentioned in Acts 16:16. Such spirits of divination or familiar spirits operate in fortune telling, witches, palm, crystal balls, tea reading, unscriptural methods. These spirits of divination foretell the future of things naturally unknown. Warning against familiar spirits are given in Leviticus 19:31, Leviticus 20:6, Deuteronomy 5:9, Deuteronomy 18:10, Leviticus 20:27, and 1 Samuel 28:3. Seducing spirits uses seances, seduce, entice, tempt, allure, interest, and excite and arouse and attract and deceive the human being. Seducing spirits use all these other spirits to control them, to control you. They are present and operate in every cult, and whenever and whatever doctrine of error exists, remember that Satan craves for worship, and he will take it in any way he can get. Seducing spirits entice men and women to worship idols and even Satan himself. Unclean spirits and humans. The familiar spirit is familiar with your whole bloodline. This thing know you from Genesis to Eve. This is why your life has to be hidden in the Word of God. Come on. In Colossians 3:3. Do your thing. In Colossians 3:3. These demonic powers afflict the soulish nature of man. I want everybody to hear me. These demonic powers afflict the soulish nature of man. They are responsible for immoral acts, unclean thoughts. And that's going to get us to, can a Christian have demons? Yes, they can. Can light and dark dwell together? The Bible says it can. Now, that's a mystery. How can light and dark cohere together? Well, the Holy Spirit doesn't live with demons. When you are saved, your spirit is indwelled in you. Spirit, the demon can't attack the spirit, but they can attack the outer shell, the body, the inner shell, the soul, the mind, the thoughts. That's not holy. This is why you have to cast down thoughts and crucify your flesh, and then get these what you call squid spirits, mind spirits, intellectual spirits. Spirits to make you reason, analyze, think, and figure it out. That main demonic co-host is called Slitter Slitterers, co-host Duke 886, 17,526 legions of demons under his authority. When Satan controls individuals with unclean demons, he also can operate in a home, church, and entire nations. And these groups are composed of individuals. This is how Satan works in various levels of structure in our society. Who is the god of this world? 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that the devil is the god of this world. Remember that. Okay, write down oppression. O-P-P-R-E-S-S-I-O-N. That's number one. Number two, obsession. O-B-S-E-S-S-I-O-N. Number three, possession. P-O-S-S-E-S-S-I-O-N. Evil spirits can operate and oppress people. To oppress means to bear down, come against, or bind from the outside. Those are the thoughts. They come from outside in. That's called an outside and inside attack. Jesus, when he was in the wilderness, the Bible says that he was out there in the wilderness with the wild animals, which was really demons in them animals. And he dealt with it. That's an outside attack. When Jesus Christ of Nazareth went into the temple, that was an inside attack because he went in to clean it out because of the spirit of money and mammon that was operating in the church. So deliverance is all in the Bible. The oppression is accomplished by evil spirits in various ways. They cause depression. Anytime a person gets depression, that's not the Holy Spirit. Negativity, any type of negative thinking, negativity, wrong thoughts. Oh, this is what really get demons in people, the thoughts. Oh, the man hates you, the woman don't like you, or the demon will have you to look at that person and think of something that you don't like about that person. And then all of a sudden, enlarge that thought in your mind, and it comes out your heart. This is why you have to get your heart right. The heart is evil above all, Bible says. So get your heart right so when you get some deliverance, these spirits don't have any legal right to attach themselves. Now, the thought life, which they would like to bring on suicide, that's total possession. Unbelief and fear, demons create satanic circumstances and situations to tempt men to sin, enticed, as we said earlier. Please remember this scripture. Go to the book of James. Again, please remember this scripture. And in James, it says, let's go to 1:13, the source of sin. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. See, God doesn't tempt people. That's a lie. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. So I had a person call me and say that the Lord was tempting him. I said, that's not the Lord that I know. That's another Jesus tempting you. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away. Watch this now. Of his own lust. Now watch the demon next to it. And enticed. The demon of enticement constantly fog at your thoughts. This is why you have to have the arm of God on. How God has anointed Yeshua the Messiah with the Holy Ghost, and who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. For God was with him, oppressed of the devil. The church responsibility is to help those who are oppressed of the devil. Not money comments, but oppressed of the devil. Very few pastors like to engage in talking about Satan. Because you know why? You will come under attack. Your family will come under attack. But you better be clear. You better have the blood of Jesus, because this ain't nothing to play with. There are many people in the church that need so much help with demonic problems. That I can't help everybody. People call all over the world. I can't do it. I'm still doing six people that we've been doing for a while. It takes time to do deliverance. So learn this. Demons also possesses human beings. Demon possession is a condition in which one or more evil spirits, demons, inhabit the body of human beings and take complete control of their victims at will. Some people prefer using the word demonized rather than possession. But regardless to the term, possession person is host to resident demons. Possession does not mean a person is not responsible for his own sin. His responsibilities rest with the fact that his condition is caused by demonic intervention. I had a man that had a problem with masturbation, and he told me he was masturbating 14, 15 times a day. That is demonic. The lust of the eyes open up doors to demons, 1 John 2:15. Now, here is the conclusion that we got that people really need to come to an understanding. Can demons affect believers? Yes. Can demons affect believers? Yes. Scripture supporting that Christians can be demonized. Matthew 15:28-22, deliverance is the children's bread and is therefore particularly reserved for the believers. Do not do an exorcism on someone who is not saved. There are two kingdoms in Matthew 12:26 and 12:28. The kingdom of God is in 28. The kingdom of Satan is in 26. How can Satan cast out Satan? If someone's not saved, you can't help them. This is not for them. This is for Christians. Jesus rebuked the spirit of Satan speaking through Peter. Let's look at that in Matthew chapter 16. Peter was a Christian. Matthew chapter 16, verse 22. Matthew chapter 16, verse 22. This is why, and see, this scripture here, the Lord's been teaching me. I've been meditating on this all week. And I'm going to do a deep, deep study Saturday and Sunday and Monday. And I'm going to come up with something because the Lord's been trying to show me this. Notice he says in Matthew 16:22, let's turn it there. I want you to see this. Then Peter took him. Now watch this. Go up to 16:21. From that time forth began Jesus to show to his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes. These are religious people, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Now watch how Satan spoke through Peter when he said raised again the third day. Then Peter took Jesus and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But Jesus turned to Apostle Peter and said, Satan. He didn't say Peter. He said, Satan, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou servest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Of men. He did not say anything to Peter. So when people are talking to you to get up on this game of deliverance, find out when they're talking. Be speaking in tongues to find out who you're talking to. Look directly in the eye, because the Bible says the eyes is the window of the soul, and let the Holy Spirit probe in that thing. The Bible gives us these gifts, because the devil don't have the authority unless we give it to him. We give it to him because we don't apply offensive tactics to the enemy. Okay, let's look at a man with an unclean spirit in the synagogue. Now, this is a man in the synagogue. They say he went in a nightclub. This is during the time of Christ, so this is a man with an unclean spirit in the church. Let's go look at this in the book of Mark. Yes, a Christian can have demons. And we're going to get it on the theological terminology, too, and on a spiritual perspective. Let's go to Mark 1:23. And there was in their synagogue, and there was in their church, a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, thou art the Holy One. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. Jesus wasn't talking to that man. He was talking to the demon in the man. And this is what we're going to have to learn to be effective in spiritual warfare.
Let's look at Luke 9, 52 and 56. Jesus told James and John, you don't know what spirit you are of. And most people don't realize the spirit's in them if they don't have a good diet of the ministry of deliverance. Or the Lord has to show it to them. But if they don't have the revelation for how God can show it to them, this would be foolishness to a person who's never heard this before. He that have an ear, let him hear what the spirit. Revelation has a lot to do with the ministry of deliverance. Now let's go to Luke chapter 9, 52 and 56. Luke chapter 9, verse 52 and 56. Luke 9, 52. And he sent messengers and went to enter the village. As well as they did receive him, his disciples said, rebuking. Oh, here it is. Luke 9, 55. But he turned and rebuked them and said, you don't know what manner of spirit you are of. That's Jesus saying that. Now, let's look at the theological perspective, since we have some theologians in here, some doctors. They probably would like this. Let's look at the theological side of the body, mind, soul, and spirit, and then what we're going to do is to look at the spiritual side. Can a Christian have a demon? Yes, Christians can have a demon. Also, Satan filled the hearts of two believers to lie to the Holy Ghost. That's in Acts chapter 5, verse 3. Also, in the book of Luke chapter 13, verse 16, a daughter of Abraham. Why would it say a daughter of Abraham? Because that's a child of Christ. She couldn't be a daughter of Jesus until Jesus died. You remember, Abraham was there in the bosom while Christ was on earth when the man went to hell, Lazarus, to dip his tongue. And he saw the poor man in the bosom of Abraham. Abraham. But now that Yeshua has died and has taken the place of Melchizedek, and Abraham was a representative in heaven while people were dying, Jesus has taken that position. This is why demons don't like Jesus. They don't like Jesus. Simon felt the need for deliverance because of the occult in Acts 8:13 and Acts 20, verse 24. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 through 5, speaks of a born-again believer filled with the spirit of lust. And is also a result turned over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 1 through 5. Also, Paul was tormented by a messenger from Satan in 2 Corinthians 12, 7. He did something about it. Also, in 1 Timothy chapter 1, 19, 20, speaks of two believers who was delivered over to Satan for blasphemy. Also, believers can be snared by the devil or Satan. To look at 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 24 and 26. Now, how can a Christian have a demon? That which is born of the Spirit is in 3 John. Now, we have the body, mind, soul, and spirit. And I'm going to use the temple in the Old Testament to show the body, mind, soul, and spirit. And then I'm going to use the possession versus oppression, and I'm going to show you scriptures that separates the body, the mind, and the soul. And that's how demons attack. They attack the soul, the body, the mind, but they cannot attack the spirit in you. They stay away from that. They go in your mind. Now, there are three temples. The Holy of Holies represent the spirit. The holy place represents the soul, mind, will, and emotions. The outer court represents the physical body. The temple in the Old Testament had three parts. The Holy of Holies, which is high priest, came in once a year. We don't need that now because of Yeshua. The table of the shewbread represents the soul of people. The holy place, which is the lampstand, represents the soul of people. The lampstand in Exodus 25, 31 through 39. The lampstand and the shewbread in Exodus chapter 25, 23 through 30. The altar of incense in Exodus chapter 31 through 10. The outer court represents the body. Jesus entered into the outer court. They were seven in the outer court. Jesus drove them out of the outer court. And Jesus wants to do that with us. Now, the prophet Ezekiel saw some demonic creatures in the building of the wall of God. And he says this about the prophet of God dug a hole in the wall. And in the temple of God, he says in Ezekiel 8:7, and he brought me to the door of the court. And when I looked, behold, a hole in the wall. And Ezekiel 8:8 said, then said he unto the Son of Man, dig now a wall. And when he had digged in the wall, behold, a door. And Ezekiel 8:9, and he said unto me, go and behold the wicked abominations that they do here. In Ezekiel 8:10, so I went in and saw all, behold, every creeping thing and abominable beast and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed upon the wall round about. That's demons. Now, let's look at this. A true believer cannot be possessed by a demon. I mean, totally possessed by Satan, not a born-again Christian. He can be afflicted, but he cannot be oppressed like that. He can be oppressed but not possessed. A true believer cannot be possessed by a demon because the Holy Spirit inhabits the temple. And we're bought with a price, according to 1 Corinthians 6:20. There is nothing free. You were bought with a price, the Bible says. When you belong to God and are filled with the Holy Spirit, you cannot belong to Satan and be filled with the Spirit at the same time. The Holy Spirit will not abide in the same temple with the devil. This is why your spirit that's saved when you call on God abides within, and demons can't touch that. But they can touch the other parts of your body called your soul. Your soul. Your soul. When training people in this ministry, me and Sister Durden, we found something, and the first questions that come up with people in this ministry, they say, can a Christian have a demon? So I did the theological perspective of the temple and the Holy of Holies using the Old Testament to show the body. And now I'm going to do it showing the body, mind, soul, and spirit based on 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23. First, I want to clarify these terminologies. Let's get an understanding the difference between demon possession and being demonized. Write that down. This is demonology number 4, the beginner's guide to demonology. Demonology means the study of deceit or to study demons. Demons are fallen angels. Revelations 12:4, they fell out of heaven. It was kicked out, and they are Satan's servants. They hate mankind, whether you're WAP, stop, whoever, Indian, black, white, they don't care about your color. All they want to do is oppress and kill you. All right. The New Testament word, D-A-I-M-O-N-I-Z-O-M-A-I, is used to express the presence of demonic spirits within a person. It has often been translated as demon possession. The problem with this translation is that possession is impossible for a born-again Christian, since a believer is a bought child of God, sacrificed by Jesus. Satan cannot own a Christian. You hear that? Satan cannot own a Christian, but your soul. That's why Jesus said, crucify your flesh. Now, Jesus ain't got nothing to do with your flesh. You can't cast out your flesh. Now, what opens up the doors to born-again Christians? The flesh. Let's look at what the Bible says about the flesh. And if you keep living in the flesh, living in the flesh, living in the flesh, this is how Christians open up a door to demons. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, various, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, raveling, and such like of this which I tell you before, as I have already told you in times past, that they which do such things, shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Now, I'm going to break down something to show you all those words that we said in Galatians 5:22 and 23. the flesh, to be carnally minded, or terms for the sinful human nature with its corrupted desires. This is what opened up the doors to demonic spirits. The sinful nature remains within Christians after their conversion and is their deadliest enemy. Romans chapter 8, verse 6 through 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. Galatians chapter 5, verse 21. Those who practice the acts of the sinful nature cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Galatians 5:21. And when you keep living like this and keep living like that, that's opening up the doors to your flesh. Therefore, the sinful nature must be resisted and put to death, continuing through the power of the Holy Spirit. See Romans 8:4 through 14. See Galatians 5:17. Adultery, sexual acts or intercourse outside the marriage union. The word pornography comes from the root word porneus, which is sexual impurity. It includes taking pleasure in pornography, pictures, films, writings, magazines, and any such lustful nature that you see in from the eyes. 1 Corinthians 2:15, the pride of life and the lust of the eyes. This is what opened up the doors to demonic spirits. Fornication, sexual sins, evil deeds, and vices, including thoughts and desires of the heart. Acts 15:20, Acts 15:29, Acts 15:21, and Acts 21 through 25, Ephesians 5:3, and Colossians 3:5. Uncleanness and lasciviousness, sensual followings, one passion desires to point or having no shame of public decency. People out nude, they don't care. Let everybody see them. Those are demons. 2 Corinthians 12:21. Idolatry, worship of spirits, person or graven image. Trust in any person, institution, or thing, or have an equal or greater authority than God and His Word. This opens up the door to demonic spirits. Witchcraft, that's in the flesh, that's control. Pornikias, P-H-A-R-M-A-K-E-I-A. Sorcery, spiritism, black magic, worship of demons, and use of drugs to produce spiritual experiences. Exodus 7:11, Exodus 7:22. Exodus 8:18, Revelations 9:21, and Revelations 18:23. Hatred, intense, hostile, intention, acts, extremely dislike of a person. That opens up the door to demons. Variance, quarreling, arguing, agnostic, struggle for superiority and pride. I shut that down. I don't operate like that no more. Romans 1:29. Emulations, restfulness, envy of another person's success. That opens up the door to demons. Wrath, explosive anger that flames into violent words or deeds. Colossians 3:8. Strife, unrighteously seeking power or position. 2 Corinthians 12:20. Philippians 1:16-17. Seditions, introduce diversive teachings not supported by God's word. Romans 16:17. Heresies, division within the congregation into exclusive groups or cliques that destroy the unity of the church. 1 Corinthians 11:19. Envy, resentful dislike of one's person who has something that one desires. Romans 13:13, 1 Corinthians 3:3. Drunkenness, impaired one's mental, physical control by alcohol, opened up the door to spirits. Raveling, excessive raveling and partying, involved partying and drinking all the time. Paul's final comment about the acts of the sinful nature is stern and forcibly. And so-called Christians who engage in these types of activity shut themselves out of the kingdom of God and open themselves up to demonic spirits. This is how you open up your door, these doors, to demons. The next important thing to understand is that the person is made of three separate parts that operate together. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, we see that we have a body, soul, and spirit. Demons cannot attack the spirit. They can attack the soul, and they can attack the body. May your whole soul, spirit, and body be kept blameless at the coming of Christ. In 1 Corinthians 6:19, we read that the body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Just as we, with God's physical temple, the body had three parts with different functions. God's temple had in the most holy place, in the most holy place in the courtyard of men and priests, thank you, Holy Spirit, The holy place, the holy of holies, which represented the spirit. The court of men and the priest represented the body. And the holy place in the Old Testament now represents the soul of us here in the New Testament. This works within one person, which has the spirit of holiness in the Holy Ghost in them, and then they have the flesh, and then they have the soul. Now, in order to stop these demons, you have to crucify the flesh. You have to nail it to the cross because they will feed off your flesh. Demons start with any type of mind conversations that they can bring to your mind, any type of negative thinking that they can bring to you, any type of fear that they can bring to you. Our spirit, the Holy of Holies, cannot have a demon. The part is justified, but the body which we know has not received eternal life is still under the ravaged effects of the fallen world. It is the body and the soul and the mind and emotions that the demons have access into our lives. Pray or just crucify your flesh. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that a Christian cannot have a demon. This simply is no scripture. That is to say, if God wanted his church to believe this, he would directly declare it in his word. The case for Christians being unable to have a demon is based on misconceptions. If darkness and light can coexist, the question goes, then how can the Holy Spirit and a demonic spirit coexist in the same temple? We understand in 1 Thessalonians that a person has three distinct parts. This helps us understand this question of coexistence. But I want to focus you now on the first statement, that dark and light cannot coexist. The assertion that darkness and light cannot coexist, as biblical as it sounds, is not found in the Bible. Let me say this again. The common assertion of dark and light cannot coexist is nowhere biblical. Now, the closest thing we got is in 1 John 1:9, where it says, God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. But that is talking about God, and it's not talking about you. Lord Jesus, we thank you for this word. Father, we thank you for the ministry of deliverance. We thank you for the revelation of Jesus. We thank you for this word this evening. We praise your holy name. We give honor to your word. We know that your word is truth and every man be a lie. Again, we want to thank you for participating in this demonology. Please come call us. Come on in the room now. We're going to be opening up lines. Area code 646-378-1857. We're in there Monday through Friday. Pastor Steve Lee, Pastor John Durden, Mondays and Tuesdays. Durden, Steve Lee on Mondays, and Pastor Durden on Tuesdays, and I'm on Wednesday and Thursday, and I'm off Friday because we have deliverance. If you're interested in becoming a member here, please email us at overtonav1@gmail.com. If you want to sow a seed, we appreciate your contributions. We're a 501c3. Please sow a seed to keep us on air. A labor is not worthy if it's hired. This does cost money, and we would appreciate your offerings and your financial support to keep us on air. Again, thank you again. Again, thank you. And don't forget to tell someone about Live Deliverance Internet Radio. We're at 207 subscribers, and we're going to hit that 500. God bless you. We're going to see you. It's the will of God. I'm going to have a presentation on the resurrection tomorrow. The word is not Easter. Stay out of that. Stay out of that. Stay out of that. Stay out of that. I'm going to tap on that with a little message on the resurrection. Happy Resurrection Day. Shalom to you, and God bless. Big Mike.
Yes, sir.
Intermission on my knees.
On my knees. All right.
Many roads right there before me, looks enticing, but I know that's not what God wants for me. Won't go no further unless I know He's leading me. Took 5 steps forward but lost and stared because of me. I made a decision that my life is gonna be about God. I may not be famous, 'cause I wanna sing a righteous song. Don't worry about me, my problems won't be money. It's better to please God than having everyone bowing at my feet. So I'm going down on my knee, I'm begging you to help me, 'cause I am nobody. When you're in my life, I feel free on my knees. I'm begging you to help me, 'cause I am nobody. When you're in my life, I feel free. I feel free. I feel free. When you're in my life, Lord, I feel free. Oh yeah. Back in the days, righteousness was thou shalt not. But now in these days we sing, and now it's hard to stop. You got your breakthrough, but few days later you're back. Because you didn't feed your spirit and flesh was all you got. I made a decision, I gotta lose some of my friends. Change my number, that life has come to an end. Can't listen no more to those songs that's fighting against my spirit. I'm walking away, and I'm not looking back. Bowing down on my knees, begging you to help me. I'm nobody. When you're in my life, on my knees, I'm begging you to help me, Jesus.
The mic.
Hey, amen. I definitely agree with that teaching tonight, you know, because especially having a family, you got to be aware of things, you know, going on, because, you know, in this ministry, man, you said it, you hit the nail on the head. The demonic spirit, Satan, is not gonna, he may not come at you the same way he would come at your loved ones, the same way he would come at your family. you know, and he would definitely try to use them to get to you. So if you're going to, you know, accept the call, you know, to be in the deliverance ministry, you have to make sure, you know, that not only yourself, but, you know, your family understands, you know, what's going on, you know, and that they understand the gravity of what you're dealing with, because you're coming against the kingdom of Satan, and he's not going to sit back and, you know, just take that as, you know, something light. You know, he's going to come to you, you know, and with force, and he's going to come at them with force. So you got to make sure you cover your family, you anoint them, you know, anoint yourself, you know, and keep them in constantly covered in prayer, because if not, you know, he's going to do what he does best: seek, kill, and destroy. So.
People don't see. They don't realize how serious it is. They get attacked, and mm-hmm. when you're doing front line, we get attacked every day.
Yes, we do.
I'm used to it.
Yes,
I'm used to it. You gotta have some nails for this ministry, because you're talking about quitting. Yep, you ain't gonna make it.
You
gotta
right.
take the Lord.
You're so right about
just, and you gotta stay humble. And you got to stay one to learn. If you're lazy, stay out of this ministry.
That's right.
Okay. Reverend T.R. Bilbenton. Oh, Lord. Brother John. Explain to me. I've been in the church 46 years. Can you hear me, Brother John?
Yeah.
If we have his written word, what is this nine gifts of the Spirit that has ceased? Come back, please.
Okay. That's his written word. That's his written word. Nothing said it had ceased. You can read from Genesis all the way to Revelation. Why does certain people want to scratch that part out and keep the rest of it? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. And he gave his ministers, not only the present minister at his time, but those are orders for us in future generation. It doesn't say it ceases. It just says, hey, you guys are going to be fighting against demon-possessed people. They are real. And what I want to do before I leave is to bless you, anoint you, to give you some gifts that can help you ward off those
yep.
demonic spirits. Because you know people got, they're killing each other. You
yep.
got people going to Iraq,
yep.
Beheading each other, doing all these ridiculous things. You got folks going to school, killing 17 kids, and years before, they were killing 18, 19, 20, 21 kids. That's not normal. That's demonic. And God said for us to fight demons, we can't buy a K-47 or grenades. That doesn't affect demons. He says he give us weapons. Weapons to fight
yep.
these demons. Then plus he give us
mm-hmm.
Spiritual gifts. The spiritual gift is word of wisdom.
Yep.
Like you in a situation you don't know what to do, God will give you wisdom
right.
to what to do with that. And then he give you the word of knowledge to let you know who's
mm-hmm.
pulling your leg and who isn't. Rather somebody
yep, right.
Come up to you and tell me I am this and I am that, and the word of wisdom said, no, you're not. You're a liar. You're from the pits of hell. God will give you a word of knowledge, letting you know something about that person that you need to know so you won't get scammed, or you won't get killed, or you won't get raped. You know how you can deal with you, even with your congregation. You got members and deacons coming in. Hello, Pastor. Oh, yes. How you doing? And if you had the word of knowledge, God would let you know that that guy is out to beat you head in or take your job or to bum you out of some money. You wouldn't know who you're dealing with. That's what it's for. It hasn't ceased, sir, not at all. And I suggest that don't listen to man anymore. Just talk to the Lord. That's what I did, and that's what turned me, because I had two doctor candidates, one doctor of Methodist and one doctor of Baptist. Both were my pastors, one in, when I was raised up as a child up till I was 21 as a Methodist, and then from 21 to 20, I jumped from being a Catholic to a Presbyterian, trying to find the true thing. Then finally God sent me to a non-denominational church where this pastor believed the Bible from front to cover. We have his written word. That's his written word. What else are you going to call it? Thou shalt not steal. That's his written word. If you come to me and believe, thou shalt be saved. That's his written word. Everything is contingent upon our belief. God's not going to make anybody do anything. He said, let it be done to you according to your belief. So he's not going to make you get saved, and he's not going to make you believe either. You have to believe. That's what our salvation is contingent upon, believing. Okay? We have his written word. That's written. Scripture means written word. If I say God says thou shalt not steal, I can say that's the scripture. I can say that's the written word. It's synonymous.
All right, we got another one, Reverend Paul Milton. Reverend Paul Milton to Brother John. I have been a staunch Baptist for the past 46 years. I heard your testimony. You was in the Baptist church. You left the original church. When are you going to come back home?
Home to me is serving God, not a denomination, sir. There's nowhere in the Bible say you got to be a Catholic, Baptist, Presbyterian, and whatever else you know to be saved. Who died on that cross? It was Jesus, not Baptist. Who died on that cross? Was not Catholic. Who died on that cross? Was not Presbyterian and all the others. It was Jesus. Our salvation is in Jesus, not denomination, sir. Next. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Reading the next notation.
Oh.
Okay, this is Reverend Scouten to Brother John Durden.
Mm-hmm.
I have been in the church for 39 years.
Amen.
Brother John, you say, if I would have rang deliverance to my church, they would put me out, kick me out, and throw the damn keys away. Y'all need to talk to me. You guys are right.
Hey, well, I can, you know, tell you my personal experience. You know, like, I was raised up in a Methodist, and then I moved to Atlanta.
Brother John, excuse me. Wait a minute. Make it 3 minutes. You got 60 people want to speak to you.
We'll do. Okay. And then, like I said, I just got vexed in my spirit. You said, well, that's not for us today, and that's not for us today. But you know what? I had the sense enough to, God vexed my spirit. I went, huh? And somehow my spirit, I guess that was the Holy Spirit ministering to me, says, that's not true. You know, and I questioned it. And so I started asking different people, and everybody I asked had something different to say. So I finally just went to the Lord. And the Lord, and I went to a pastor who was non-denominational, said, I tell you what, John, I believe, but you know what? You need to believe for yourself. Go down into the altar and talk to the Lord. And I go, okay. And I went down there and I said, Lord, it's really true. And what he did, he gave me the baptism in the Holy Spirit, that is speaking in tongues. And then sometimes he speaks to me, tell me what scripture to go to and this kind of thing. It's real, man. It's really real. And he want all. I wish all denominations would accept the Bible from front to cover. But we got a lot of pastors say, I accept this, but I don't accept this one. I accept this, and I don't accept that. Who in you know what think you are to tell God which, and the Holy Spirit what you're going to accept? That Bible was written by the Holy Spirit. And they know it. He said, all right, effective 2019, the gifts of the Holy Spirit is no longer relevant. That's not in the Bible. Okay, don't let the devil fool you, because he knows that's the weapons that would destroy him. I conclude with this. Those are the weapons that would destroy him, the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, everything else. We can't beat the devil and all those unholy demons with our mind. Okay? We have his written word. Everything in the Bible is written word. Why do you want to say that's not his written word? We have his written word. I hear that a million times. What do you think that is? The scriptures, that's the written word. Scripture and that means the same thing. Because somebody else is going to ask questions, I stop there.
Okay. Reverend Jackson. To Brother John, this is from Reverend Jackson to you. He says that the Bible says tongues have ceased. Explain, please, and bring comeback.
No, what you alluded to, that part of that scripture where I say, it shall cease when that which is perfect come. Well, that which is perfect is Jesus. And he said, because there'll be no more tongue, no more knowledge. And you see, knowledge is still increasing, man. We got the cell phone, we got the satellite. And every time you turn around, man is discovering more things, more and more and more. That which is perfect come, that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And when he comes, then there's no need to speak in tongues. We all be speaking on the same language level. And that's what it means. And that which is perfect, it will cease. Well, when Jesus comes back, then there'll be no more need for tongues, no more need for knowledge, because we'll have the mind of Christ totally then. so we don't have to speak in tongues to some others. And knowledge, man, please, you don't have to be going to school and trying to learn all this stuff. We will have the mind of Christ, that which is perfect. Look at it. Tongue will cease when that which is perfect comes. That which is perfect is the Lord Jesus. So until then, we can still speak in tongues, and knowledge will increase. The Adam and all the bums they making, all the intellectual stuff. That's about the best I can say.
Okay, this is Dr. Thornburg to Brother John Durden. He's Inside Out, Texan, Inside Out from Louisville, Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
He says he's a follower of Hank Hanegraaff, and all of the people that you and Brother M and Brother Mike like, all of them are heretics. Please bring come back.
Well, all I can say, sir, you have a right to believe what you believe. I'm not going to go upside your head or curse you out or anything like that. You have a right to believe just like every human being. God says, let it be done to you according to your belief. And I'm not here to pound you in the head and curse you out or anything like that. You have a right. So if you disagree with what you're saying, why don't you just listen to Hank Hanegraaff and just leave us alone? But you know why? It's because that's the Holy Spirit mercy on you, sir. The Holy Spirit wants you to know the truth. That's why you're listening. Because, you know, I don't like the way Baha teach or the Muslim teach. I don't spend all my hours, my free time, listening at pastors who preach from a Muslim teaching or Baha teaching, all that. That's a bunch of crap. I don't listen to that junk. I have better things to do. Now, so if you disagree, why are you sitting here a whole hour listening at us when you got bull crap. I don't believe that bull crap. I'm a Hank Hanegraaff father. So follow Hank Hanegraaff and leave us alone. But you know why you still listening? Because that's the love and the mercy of the Holy Spirit trying to get you out of that mess, sir. And I'm sorry to say it's mess, but that's what it is. You know? The Bible is the Bible. Who he think he is? That he takes something in the Bible? I don't believe. Just take that out. Man, the whole Bible is true. The whole Bible. Who in the hell he think he is to say we don't accept this? He's trying to, who, he think he's God? One last word. The written word was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, what you going to do? You going to insult the Holy Spirit? You better watch what you say, because God say anything innocent against the Holy Spirit is unforgivable. You're bust hell wide open. You don't offend the Holy Spirit. And the Bible say the Bible was written by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, who does Hank Hanegraaff tell them, that's not for us today, and I don't believe this? The Holy Spirit wrote the book. I can't get no more out of that. The Holy Spirit, the one that led those prophets in the Old Testament to write the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit gave Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Paul, Peter, and them to write the New Testament. Who in the heck does he think he is? I don't believe this, and this ain't for us today. What he did was just telling the Holy Spirit where he can go, whether he know it or not. That's all I got to say on that one. But, sir, read, study. Do listen. Read and study yourself and do like I did. I talked to the Lord, and the Lord told me that it's relevant. And that's why I can speak in tongues and do a couple other things that I don't have the time to talk about, because I believe. And those people who believe in Baha and all that, and those Muslims, they ain't saved because they don't believe in Jesus. The Bible says we must believe in Jesus. We must receive him as our Lord and Savior. Salvation is not keeping the church clean or the Muslim clean or going to some east part of the building and praying five times a day. That's not salvation. Salvation is in Jesus. The Holy Spirit wrote that Bible. The Holy Spirit. I'm through.
I got one for Brother Mike. This is from Kathleen Wilmington. Dear Brother Mike, I thank you for your information being attacked. I appreciate your honesty. What do you do on a regular basis? And how many hours do you read a day?
How many hours do I read a day? Talking about the Bible?
Yeah. That's what she's asking you. How do you study?
That's been a thing. For the past 10 years, that's just been something that I've just tried to make sure that's a part of my life every day. As far as the hours, I couldn't tell you the hours. You know, I try to do my best, you know, to get an hour there, an hour here, because, you know, of my work schedule and workload and being here on the radio. But, you know, I try to get at least maybe 30 minutes to an hour if I can every day or every night. And as far as, like, being attacked, it's just going to be one of those things where, you know, to ward that off, it's just going to be constantly praying. You know, like, I'll spend a whole lot of time, like, on my way to work, I don't listen to the radio. I spend the drive to work just praying, you know, and being trying to pray in the spirit and covering myself.
I've done all day.
Yep. And at work, I'm doing the same thing. Even when I'm at work, it's just constantly being aware of what's going on around me. You know, I carry a little vial of anointing oil that I keep with me. You know, I always make sure that before I leave out, you know, I anoint my child, you know, and if my wife is not, you know, sleeping, I'll make sure I anoint her as well before I leave, and then I anoint myself. And I get to work. Sometimes I'll anoint my work area, you know, just to make sure, you know, because you never know. You never know, you know, what you're going to deal with or come in or encounter. So just prayer, anointing, and trying to, you know, make sure that I stay, you know, in the Word somewhere, somewhat. So.
Wow. Wow, that's all right. Okay, Reverend Sapton says that he's learning deliverance. He says he has a person in the church gets up and growls, and the eyes roll back, and he said he don't know what to do. And now you got the mic, Big Mike. Hello?
He said a person gets up in church and starts growling. He doesn't know what to do.
Yep. I don't know what to do, Big Mike.
I got to ask him, you know, how long... He said, that, is he new to deliverance, or has he been doing it?
Yeah.
Because if he's new to it, he's new to it.
He's brand new. He ain't never done it in his life, nothing.
Brother, I wouldn't try to take... I would make sure that before you even do anything, I wouldn't try to take or tackle that demon head on. You know, what you need to do is, you know, if you're holy, spirit filled with the Spirit, you know, and sanctified and holy, I would start binding that spirit. You know, you don't have to do it out loud in front of everybody. This, that, and that. You can bind it under your breath, you know, and that spirit can still hear you. But I wouldn't just openly get up in that demon's face and start rebuking that demon, especially if you've not been, you know, under a deliverance minister or in the deliverance ministry that long. Because what can happen is that spirit is going to know you because it's going to know the spirits that are within you. You know, people say that, you know, they don't believe that people have demons. Well, yeah, we got them, you know, and... You have what's called familiar spirits, and they know those familiar spirits communicate with each other. So if you're not right, brother, or there's something in your heart, whether it's bitterness, unforgiveness, this, that, and the other, I wouldn't go, you know, up against that spirit, because that spirit is going to call you out, and it's gonna I hate to say it, but it'll probably beat your tail, because, you know, you're reading the Bible, what happened to the seven sons of Sceva, you know, that tried to do the same thing, you know, thought they were big and bad and tried to cast that spirit out, and that spirit jumped on them and that man and whooped their tail. So I would just say, be humble, bind that spirit, you know, ask the Lord to lead you, but bind that spirit and then, you know, and pray. But I wouldn't try to confront that head on.
Okay, area code 845, area code 845, 845.
Amen, brothers. God bless you guys.
Amen, brother.
Amen, brother. Yeah, a lot of things that you guys are saying is definitely true, brother. We have to just be living right, and it's, you know, we have to, you know, just stay out of sin. You know, that really blocks Jesus from working in our lives fully and completely, and it really blocks us from hearing what the Holy Spirit is trying to speak to us. And brother, it's funny because when you was speaking about Galatians 5:17, I believe, as soon as you were calling them down, you know, adultery, fornication, variance, all of them, right after that, I started looking them up, you know, just to like look, just to do it, and then you said that you was gonna do it, so I was just following you, you know. But that's a lot of things, brother. If you just count it down, that's like, yeah, that's a good like 10 things. 10 things. I mean, you got a whole bunch, you got a whole list there of what to really stay away from, as according to the works of the flesh, that we really should stay away from. I mean, it just brings demons, it brings blockages, it brings a snare, as the word says, bro.
Yep.
And close to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the king. Says it there. Clothed, says with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. If we just stay close to Christ, then God, I believe God will reveal himself to us, and as he is the Word gets revealed to us if we just stay close to him. You know, demons are lurking, brother, and I think it's the best thing and everyone's best interest to stay out of sin. Stay out of sin.
As much as you can. Definitely don't
call on Jesus.
Don't prosper nothing at all.
No, brother.
Well, that's all of what we got tonight, man. We had a nice teaching the Holy Spirit gave. The rooms were packed. Jamaica, Trinidad,
Canada. Let me, you know, a lot of people don't realize how, where we be beaming at, man. And, it's amazing to see the technology that you can look on your board and see the nations that listens to us. Trinidad, Montego Bay, Jamaica, Kingston, Jamaica, Havana, Cuba, Iceland, Mozambique, Canada, Zimbabwe, South Africa, Australia, New Zealand, Paris, Italy, Romania, Great Britain, Germany. Close us out, Big Mike.
Amen. Father, in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, thank you, Father, for another blessed and wonderful teaching, Father. We give you all glory, honor, and praise, Father. We ask, Father, that the minds of those who are out there listening, Father, be open, Father, to receive your word, that the hearts, Father, the stony hearts, Father, be removed, Father, and that wisdom, knowledge, and understanding be given to them, Father, that they will understand this ministry of deliverance, Father, that they will take it seriously, Father, that they will seek you, Father, and search for you diligently, Father. Father, we ask that you will bless each and every one of us listening, bless the sponsors, bless the members, in the mighty name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we pray. Amen.
God bless. Shalom.